And also the other one is that while the Modi government is treating Muslims in a drastically a nasty way, that it has also opened its door towards a non-Muslim, particularly Buddhist and Hindus from other parts of Southeast Asia, especially Nepal and Bhutan and other places. And so that you can see clearly that India's treatment of Rohingya based on the their religion Islam is radically different from India's treatment of non-Muslims. And so this is religiously and particularly religiously motivated a policy. If you write policies and adopt policies on the basis of religious background of different populations, you're in the realm of what is considered genocidal persecution.
On that note, I would like to thank Dr. Zarni for his precious time and insight. Now, let's see how people have reacted on social media.
Founding editor of The Wire, Siddharth writes on his post that Rohingya in India illegal, a national security threat, the Modi government says, in a court affidavit. The center's affidavit also says that the matter of deportation is best left to the central government's discretion. India's leading newspaper, The Hindu, writes that the plight of tens of thousands of Rohingya Muslims continues in Bangladesh and says 100 babies were born in the no man's land near the border alone. Rick Fuad, attorney and child welfare advocate, says this is the same Aung San Suu Kyi who's mentioned defending genocide against Rohingya. Not that Myanmar junta isn't reprehensible and should be tried at Hague. It's that she should be too. Dr. Fozia Alvi, a physician and human rights advocate, writes on her Twitter that massive fire in Rohingya camps seems that there's no end to their misery.
And that was our episode on Hindu groups insulting India's father of nation, Mahatma Gandhi, and also the Hindu nationalist government's campaign to throw Rohingya refugees out of the country. Thank you for your time, everyone. We shall meet again next week. So till then, take good care.
In the limelight.
Despite Biden's promise to end the war in Yemen and his pledge to make the Saudis pay the price and make them, in fact, the pariah that they are, he has fallen back into America's hegemonic role in the West Asia region, taking sides, making America a party to conflicts, and selling more weapons. U.S. interest, peace, stability, and human rights be damned. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Andrea Germanos, journalist. This article is published under the heading Saudi bombings kill scores of civilians, including children, in Yemen. Stay tuned for more. A series of Saudi-led airstrikes were blamed recently for killing scores of people in Yemen as civilians, including children, continue to suffer deadly consequences of the U.S.-backed conflict that has lasted for years. Overnight bombings included one that targeted a prison holding mostly migrants in the northern city of Sa'deh. Ahmad Mahat, MSF's or Doctors Without Borders head of the mission in Yemen, said, "It is impossible to know how many people have been killed. It seems to have been a horrific act of violence. A hospital in the city has received 138 wounded and 70 dead and is so overwhelmed that they can't take any more patients, MSF said. Strikes also hit further south in the port city of Hodeidah. According to Agence France-Presse, video footage showed bodies in the rubble and dates survivors after an air attack from the Saudi-led coalition took out a telecommunications hub. Yemen suffered a nationwide internet blackout, a web monitor said. The humanitarian group Save the Children said that at least three children as well as more than 60 adults were reported killed by the series of strikes, though the number of confirmed casualties would likely rise. The children killed as a result of the Hodeidah strike had been playing on a nearby football field, the group said. Gillian Moyes, the group's country director in Yemen, said, "Children are bearing the brunt of this crisis. They are being killed and maimed, watching as their schools and hospitals are being destroyed and denied access to basic life-saving services," she said. "They are asking us, does it matter if I die?" The initial casualties report from Saadeh is horrifying, Moyes added. Migrants seeking better lives for themselves and their families, Yemeni civilians injured by the dozens, is a picture we never hoped to wake up to in Yemen. In the U.S., the Biden administration, like previous administrations, has faced calls to stop supplying Saudi Arabia with weapons and other support being used to wage the bombing campaign on Yemen that's estimated to have killed over 300,000 Yemenis since 2015 and unleashed what the United Nations called the world's worst humanitarian crisis. In the New Republic earlier this month, the Quincy Institute's writers wrote, "Despite Biden's promise to end the war in Yemen and his pledge to make the Saudis pay this price and make them, in fact, the pariah that they are, he has fallen back into America's hegemonic role in the West Asia region, taking sides, making America a party to conflicts, and selling more weapons. U.S. interests, peace, stability, and human rights be damned." Responding to the news of the overnight air strikes, journalist Spencer Ackerman tweeted, "America is complicit in this, as it has been complicit in every Saudi or UAE airstrike of this horrific war that Biden and his senior officials once promised to end. I hope they see these children when they sleep at night." The International Committee of the Red Cross sounded alarm about the recent intensification of violence in Yemen. Fabrizio Carboni, ICRC's regional director for the Near and West Asia region, said in a statement recently, "It is essential that we protect the lives of people in armed conflict. The human toll that we witness in Yemen is unacceptable. Civilians living in densely populated areas have been exposed to increased attacks," he continued, "causing death and injury and deepening the psychological trauma among the affected communities after 7 years of war." The deadly strikes came after a recent statement from the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, also expressing concern about the uptick in the violence in Yemen. The spokesperson, Ravina Shimdasani, said, "In recent days, there have been dozens of air strikes and artillery strikes launched by Saudi Arabia and UAE with seemingly little regard to civilians." The fighting has damaged civilian objects and critical infrastructure, including telecommunications towers and water reservoirs, as well as hospitals in Sana'a and Taiz. With front lines shifting rapidly over a large area, civilians are also exposed to the constant threat of landmines, she said. Adding, as has been shown time and time again, there is no military solution to the conflict in Yemen.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
fact.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned. One of the main features of humans is making comparison. This is because we are social beings. Humans are not like animals that do not have the comparing power. For animals, same food in the same place does not differ. Humans are different since they consider lower or upper level for themselves. They are also differentiated based on being a believer or non-believer.
ما چون یه موجود اجتماعی هستیم با هم زندگی میکنیم خواه نخواه تو زندگیمون مقایسه میاد.
Since humans are a social being, they live together and making comparison among them is inevitable. The comparison that a human makes could be on different levels of education, wealth, beauty and social status. However, making comparison is like a double-edged sword. It could cause both tranquility or calmness and anxiety in one's life. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com/Kalav Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here are some facts to contemplate upon regarding the all-glorious Creator, whom imagination cannot encompass, as described by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who is one without partner, he who cannot be perceived with vision, neither be described with tongues, nor can imagination surround his state.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Traveling around the world is a wish a lot of people have, but never actually get the chance. However, the Belgian-British girl has achieved that feat at only 19. Zora Rutherford flew back home on Thursday to a crowd made up of family members, friends, fans, and journalists. She completed her odyssey after just over 5 months, traveling over 52,000 kilometers. Zara is the youngest female in the world to fly around the globe. She achieved this using a microlight aircraft, which weighs only 325 kilograms and has very low fuel consumptions. That's absolutely amazing. Let's take a listen.
Right, the plane obviously is a bad for the environment. I'm not trying to claim that it is. But I have chosen one of the best aircraft to do it with. The fuel consumption is amazing. For this whole trip, it's used the same amount of fuel as a Boeing uses in about 10 minutes for the whole trip around the world, which I think puts things into perspective. Obviously, it is bad, but I'm really trying to minimize my impact as much as possible.
Zora says the scariest part of her trip was flying over the frozen expanse of Siberia, a place with no human habitation close by. The teen adventurer also had to deal with different countries' health restrictions. Zora had to take multiple PCR tests on her journey, while China's COVID-related regulations meant she could not use the country's airspace. Now, Zora says she is glad she can stay in one place for a few months. Who knows what her next adventure will be? In the world of art, a Japanese artist named Sachi is creating incredibly realistic felted wool portraits of cats. Sachi calls her artworks Wakuneko, which directly translates to frame cat. Her work is highly popular and she has more than 600,000 followers on different social media platforms. Each portrait takes a whopping 1 month to complete. The crafting process starts with Sachi looking at dozens of photos of the cat she wants to replicate. Then she prepares the required materials before preparing the foundation and mounts the felt onto it. The most difficult part of the job is making the subject's eyes. According to Sachi, it is also the most special stage.
I think that the moment when the cat's spirit enters into the artwork can be presented through the eyes. In that sense, I have been very particular about how to make the eyes.
Sachi's portraits have inspired people around the world to adopt homeless cats. Now she hopes to hold an exhibition showing various cats, including ones with physical handicaps, in order to inspire more adoptions of shelter cats.
The Chinese New Year is less than 2 weeks away, and millions of people around the world are in festive mood. In Vietnam, people are preparing to buy each other a special gift. Since this year's animal zodiac sign is a tiger, figurines shaped like the animal are in high demand. The Vietnamese are making, selling, and buying gold-plated tiger models to commemorate the new year. Making these sculptures is a lengthy and difficult process. It usually requires clay and copper, which are painted, gilded, and polished before being covered with 24-karat gold sheets. People tend to purchase these gifts for the luxury they evoke.
Possessing a zodiac animal model made with precious material such as gold would mean its owner is in the high class in society and is successful economically.
The gold-plated tiger model will firstly bring a luxurious feeling, and secondly, this tiger with wings model shows my hope for my works to take off and have some breakthrough in the new year.
The intricate artworks find their way to gift shops all over Vietnam. They usually sell for between $300 and $3,000. Disability is not an obstacle to success. A group of Japanese with disabilities has proved it as they create incredible handicraft and make a living this way. A shop called Amayaka offers the items made by these disabled individuals. Located in a Tokyo neighborhood, it showcases products ranging from scarves and bags to glassware and colorful carts. Mayaka and all other workshops are part of a new movement aimed at promoting works of people with impairment. In just one of the workshops cooperating with Mayaka, about 20 disabled people are working over there. However, organizers of the movement say these people are still invisible in the society and are not paid fairly for their works despite being experienced in craftsmanship.
Some workers here have a career of more than 30 years. They have been weaving since their school days. They are so experienced that we should refer to them as artisans.
The organizers say they hope that their initiative will promote the works of the people with disabilities and help the society to start thinking about the way disabled workers are being treated. Turtles get a second chance to spread their fins after being found with bellies full of plastic. They were rescued and are now being released back to the sea in Argentina. Two green turtles and four loggerhead turtles were saved from fishing nets in Buenos Aires province. The group was taken to Grupo Marina Foundation, where they recuperated after purging 10 types of plastic from their bodies. Rehabilitation of the turtles lasted over a month and included blood tests and other procedures to make sure that we're free of plastic. A biologist with a foundation says the danger of plastic is that it's silent, and usually its dangers are so gradual that it goes unnoticed.
Many times the animal appears to be in perfect health. However, during the checkup and evaluation, we found a large amount of this material inside. So it is important to get rid of the plastic before the condition worsens and it ends up causing the deaths of the specimens.
The turtles had mistakenly eaten plastic, thinking it was food. Wind, waves, and sunshine break down discarded plastic into tiny pieces, which litter ocean waters. Much of this plastic waste can be found on beds of seaweed that turtles forage for food. This trash ends up fatally clogging their bellies, causing the decline in the population of these graceful reptiles.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The Indian administered Kashmir has the world's only floating post office, a 200-year-old houseboat on the famous Dal Lake in Srinagar. Set up during the British rule in India, the post office has survived throughout the years because of its charm. Our correspondent Shahana Bhatt has more.
The Indian-administered Kashmir was once a princely independent state, out of bounds for outsiders. As the ruler of Jammu and Kashmir disallowed non-locals to own property in this picturesque region. During the British rule in the Indian subcontinent, many Britons tried to find an alternative way of living in Kashmir. Thus, houseboat on the world-famous Dal Lake came into existence. Today, the lake is a home to hundreds of such boats, which are a major attraction for tourists around the globe. This one is a unique boat, the only floating post office in the whole world. This is a 200-year-old boat built by the British. It has truly stood the test of time, as it still functions.
Post office, Dal Lake.
This is not an ordinary post office. We're standing on a heritage property. I've enjoyed my work since the very first day I came here. It's a unique experience to be working here. And every day, I get the chance to meet people from different corners of the world.
The boat is not limited to postal services. It also has a small museum where colorful stamps from the 1980s are put to display, along with a collection of rare philately stamps. The post office is a hot tourist destination in the region. Locals also come to this post office to send postcards to their loved ones, inviting them to visit Kashmir.
Floating post office.
In the age of technology, electronic mail, e-cards and other internet applications have made it extremely easy for people to communicate. But sending a postcard from this floating post office gives one a really different feeling.
The floating post office underwent reconstruction in 2011 and is currently a part of the Indian postal system. Recently, the office started offering banking services, thus attracting more locals.
I have opened an account here for my daughter. It's hassle-free and this place suits my mind. It's not like the usual offices. Visiting this place with kids is like a trip.
Yet another attraction of this post office is this souvenir shop, from where everyone can buy postcards, stamps, traditional crafts and greeting cards.
This floating post office in Kashmir's Dal Lake is like a time machine. It brings people back to two centuries ago and shows them the history of the beautiful region. Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Now let's go to Germany to hear the heartwarming story of how technology is turning a young boy's life around. 7-year-old Joshua has a severe lung disease which has made him unable to go to school. But now he can attend his classes from home with the help of an avatar robot. The device sits in Joshua's Berlin classroom, enabling him to listen to the classroom in real time to what his teacher and classmates are saying. Joshua can even interact with everyone else by making the robot display a blinking signal. The chronic shortage of human organs has always been an issue for patients, especially those suffering from heart diseases. But now a major scientific breakthrough is in the making. U.S. surgeons have successfully implanted a heart from a genetically modified pig into a man. Doctors had said the patient, 57-year-old, was unable to have human transplant because of his health conditions. But now he is recovering from his latest surgery. The surgeons say the man is being carefully monitored to determine how the new organ is performing. But for those who want to know why pigs, here is why. Pigs are considered ideal donors because of their size and rapid growth, among other things.
You know, it is a game changer because, we will have these organs readily available. If this works, and I hope it will work, we'll have these organs available. We have the technique of genetically modifying. So if there are more tweaking required for modifying the genes, we will be able to do that. And, can customize basically the heart for or the organ for the patient.
The transplant is the first of its kind in the world and follows years of research. In the U.S. alone, about 110,000 people are currently waiting for an organ transplant. Also, more than 6,000 patients die each year before getting one. Kingdom of Ice and Snow. Don't be surprised, it's an international sculpture festival held annually in the Chinese city of Harbin. This year the venue brims with sports elements in a runner-up to the 2022 Winter Olympics scheduled in Beijing. The annual Winter Festival is the largest of its kind, where sculptors spend weeks using ice and snow to create structures under a given theme. The upcoming Winter Games is the theme this year, as one can visualize giant statues of Bing Duanduan. The adorable panda mascots are major attractions of the exhibition. The chief designer says an ice tower standing in the center of the park features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics.
In terms of the design concept, the sculpture features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing. The spiral array form also indicated the proactive spirit of the Olympics. The free and upward effect is a vivid presentation of the Olympic flame.
The annual festival, which is being held for about three decades, usually attracts domestic and foreign tourists. But COVID-19 restrictions have limited the crowds over the past couple of years. Harbin is located in northeast China and receives cold winter wind from Siberia. An average winter temperature there is around minus 17 degrees Celsius.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Salaam alaikum. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear friends. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this program today is special. We're going to speak about consultation in Islam. La, 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 la. Today, Monday, is the 21st of Jamadil Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri Calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri Calendar, and the 24th of January, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of Chapter Al-Imran, verse 159.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين.
So by mercy from Allah, O Muhammad, you were lenient with them. And if you had been rude in speech and harsh in heart, they would have disbanded from about you. So pardon them and ask forgiveness for them and consult them in the matter. And when you have decided, then rely upon Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely upon Him.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The topic of this episode is consultation. Inside consultation, delight, sympathy, development of talents, recognition of friends from enemies, selecting the best attitude, creation of kindness and love, and a practical lesson for others. You may pardon them, O Prophet, for the injustice they treated you, and for the sin they committed with respect to Allah. Seek forgiveness from Allah for them, and keep them in the scene by consulting with them in the political, social affairs. Beside contemplation and consultation, do not forget to trust in Allah.
That you could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted. Cause I know that one day, suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me.
Consultation in Islam. The Prophet used to advise people to have consultation. He himself made use of it frequently. The Holy War of Badr, prior to his confrontation with the enemy, he consulted with his followers. He said, "Tell me your views concerning the combat with Quraysh. Shall we advance? Shall we confront the enemy, or shall we return back?" The leaders of Mujahideen, means immigrants, and the Ansar, the Prophet's close followers, presented two differing views. But the Prophet accepted that of the Ansar. In the Holy War of Badr, the elder believed that they must stay in Medina in order to defend the strongholds by throwing arrows and stones from the strongholds and rooftops of their houses. But the youth preferred confronting the enemy outside the city. The Prophet adopted the second view.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the role and effect of consultation in Islam. Imagine that in a room, there's only one light, okay? And you rely on only one light in order to lighten your room, But imagine that in a room, you have, for example, 10 lights, okay? Well, you will have more light in this regard. Consultation is something like this. And at the same time, we find that consultation isn't for ordinary people. Even infallibles, great sages, and more importantly, infallibles. And on top of them, the divine prophets used to receive consultation from other people. Okay, it doesn't mean that when someone is an infallible figure, and he's the actual brain, the very brain of his lifetime and his time, this person may not need the consultation of other people. Even in the Holy Quran, God recommends the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to consult with his own peers, the people who were around him. And the very divine word is washawirhum, and consult them, okay? Receive their consultation and suggestions. Granted that nobody in the life, not only in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but throughout history, nobody matches the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet receiving consultation from others, when it was done by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the other people understood that. So, in case the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam needs suggestions of other people, consultations of other people, the rest of ordinary people would certainly need such suggestions. And at the same time, by doing so, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed his own sense of respect toward those people who had more experience and who had more who were really sage people in their own lifetime.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, Hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, ya Allah.
This is the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this part, we'll learn more about the effects of consultation. People who seek other people's advice regarding their affairs seldom fail. Others who consider themselves needless of other people's advice and do not do so and just rely on their own minds usually make mistakes, even though they may be very intelligent. Such an attitude makes one unpopular and stops the flow of suggestions towards him. Those who consult others regarding their affairs will not experience other people's jealousy if they succeed, since others will consider this success as their own. Even if one fails, others will not blame him, since they will consider this failure to be their own fault. They will treat him sympathetically. One can also evaluate the degree of friendship of others when he seeks their advice. This will pave the way for the future success. This might have been one of the reasons that the Prophet of Islam sought other people's advice, even though he was very intelligent.
I see you in the winds that chase the night, circling the warm of candlelight. I hear you in the wind as the two poles spin, whispering the truth your heart holds in. I feel you in
the chill as the seasons turn. Laying down a seed with its lessons learned. A circle spins a perfect line, free from borders, free from time. I close my eyes and clear my mind. A circle joins your love with mine.
Whom not to consult with? That's very important. Undoubtedly, we cannot consult with anyone. Consulting with some people might cause us harm and deprivation. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, in his letter to Malik al-Ashtar, his commander, tells us whom not to consult with. Listen. Do not include in your consultations a miser who turns you away from generosity and threatens you with poverty, or a coward who renders you weak in your affairs, or a greedy person who makes covetousness for wealth and power accompanied by tyranny seem attractive to you. Yes, consultation is a means of finding the proper way to do things. It is meant to help us do the right thing. Therefore, we should not consult with wicked, stingy, greedy, or cowardly people. Remember, they will not help us if we consult with them. Rather, they will cause misery for us.
You come to the community level also. Whether it's a masjid, community center, corporation, whatever it is, they have to consult. They have to reach the decision through consultation, through asking people, surveying people. What do you think? What should we do? So consultation is important. And then consultation is not only by the leader. See, the Quran says it is reciprocal. Two ayahs in the Quran we have. In Surah Al-Imran, Allah says to the leader, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. The political leader has to consult his subjects. Before doing anything, he should consult his subject. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. In Surah Al-Shura, it says, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنُهُمْ. The people have to advise the leader. It is reciprocal. Both. The leader should advise his subjects, and the subject should advise the leader. Reciprocal, not from one side, both sides. Meaning the leader should listen to his people's aspirations and comments and feedbacks on these issues before making a decision. And they also should listen to him sometimes. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. And if we do not implement shura, my friends, in our societies, we are not going to move forward. Believe me, we're going to remain backward communities. Backward communities.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we join you in another episode. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
Crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they show me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IOIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.